Before we begin this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we'd like to recognize the death of two of the greats, one from the past, one a current wrestler who passed away. Hacksaw Butch Reed, at the age of 66, passed away, and he died after having two massive heart attacks. Reed's wrestling career began in the late 70s, and by 1986, he had risen to fame as part of the duo Doom. He won the tag team titles from the Steiner Brothers as part of Doom. His partner was none other than Ron Simmons. Reed also performed in the WWE. Hacksaw Butch Reed, dead at the age of 66. And a man whose wrestling star was just really beginning to rise, Joseph Hudson, also known as The Question Mark, has passed away. He was the former NWA Southern Heavyweight Champion as Josephus. When Power went on with the NWA, he donned a mask and became The Question Mark. And The Question Mark, with his karate, became kind of a cultural phenomenon. Joseph Hudson, Josephus, The Question Mark, passed away. No word on what caused the death of Joseph Hudson. And for Butch Reed and Joseph Hudson, today we give the 10 bell.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Everyone, it's Dave once again from Turnbuckle Trash, and it's all brought to you today by Dave's Voice Works. That's my new website where I'm talking about radio. This is a little business I'm setting up to do voice projects for businesses or radio stations, and you can check us out at our new website soon, davesvoiceworks.com. That's Dave's Voice Works. Works is spelled W-O-R-X. .com. We'll be having a lot of special features on there, and our new podcast will be featured on both websites, TurnbuckleTrash.net and Dave'sVoiceWorks.com, which is called Radio Guy Reflections. This is where I'll be talking to several radio people around the country talking about radio and small market radio, medium market radio, and our current podcast is with two guys that have done talk radio in small markets, and we're talking about the late Rush Limbaugh and how difficult it is to do political talk radio, and especially in a small community in Utah. We'll talk to Tom Grover, who lives in Las Vegas, and we'll also be talking. Tom, by the way, started a program called For the People in Logan, and then the current host, Jason Williams, on 610 KVNU. We'll talk about talk radio and how difficult it really is, and that'll be on Radio Guy Reflections, and it will be on all the podcasts that we have here on TurnbuckleTrash.net also. Joining us right now is Christopher Evans. Hi, Chris.
Oh, it's a beautiful day here in Statesboro, North Carolina. The wind is picking up, but it is nice and cold. And how is Turnbuckle Trash doing this night?
Well, we are not that cold. Well, we're a little cold. We're in our 30s, but we got some sunshine after some pretty nasty weather over the weekend with some snow. But then again, not as nasty as they did in our hometown of Paris and Memphis, Tennessee. So we're ready to go. Hey, in professional wrestling, there was a big event that took place this weekend. And it was called the Elimination Chamber for the WWE. This is
oh
the, you know, so how many flushes would you give this Elimination Chamber?
The flushes?
Yeah.
We can give it about, well, the flushes will give it about maybe two to go ahead, but the biggest surprise in the whole world was one individual, but you know what? He deserves what he got last night. Do you agree with me?
In the Monday Night Raw version of what was going on? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? The Miz is now the Universal Champion of the WWE. He was the Money in the Bank contract holder. And The Miz cashed it in with the help of one Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business. What do you think this is going to lead to as far as what's going to happen with The Miz and WrestleMania? And more importantly, what does this mean for Bobby Lashley, Chris?
Well, I think that Bobby Lashley is going to be the world heavyweight champion eventually. I think that WrestleMania, we're going to see a new champion. But to be honest with you, I really don't see The Miz holding on to the WWE Championship that long. It's been, 2010 when The Miz held the belt last. And he took the title from Randy Orton. And we always remember that little girl in Raw that had that snarl on her face.
The Miz girl. That was great stuff.
Yes, The Miz girl. But to be honest with you, I'm confused, but I'm very happy for The Miz. It's been a long time since he's been WWE champion. But you know what? He deserves it. He really does.
So, I'm a big Miz fan, and I know you are too, and also Zane. Zane, boy, he texted me as soon as that pay-per-view was over with last night, saying, I can't believe The Miz is the champ, and it's so great. But there's been a lot of criticism online today on Monday about The Miz doing the championship, but I have no problem with it. What have you been reading online?
Oh, my gosh. Even John Moxley's fiance, wife, says
Renee.
He doesn't deserve it, yet Renee says he doesn't deserve it. And then, the fans, they know more than we, they know more than the WWE does. They say that it's no good for business. Why have this mid-card man had the WWE championship? But for us as real fans, we appreciate it. It's about time that they gave the belt to somebody that can be a true heel with this championship.
And so, the Miz is actually one of the best heels in the business. I mean, over the last year or so, we've talked a lot about MJF and how good heel he is. But there's also been a lot of comparisons between MJF and The Miz when The Miz is being a heel. And I think that's high praise for MJF because I think The Miz is one of the best heels in the business because he's learned the psychology of wrestling. And that's one of the things I love about The Miz and his approach. You know, he's not the big bodybuilder, although he's nicely built. He's not the best athlete, although he is very athletic. He proved that in that All-Star game, that baseball All-Star game. A very good baseball player. But there's more than just getting in there and bashing somebody's head in when you're talking about professional wrestling. I think a lot of people forget about the psychology that goes into building a good match and especially a good heel.
Let's just face this. If it wasn't The Miz, it was going to be Otis. But, and I put this on our page. Remember, this was supposed to be Otis's time.
Yeah.
But let's face it. Otis is a good wrestler. He's good on the mic and everything. But would he make a good WWE champion? Do we really know? But I was really kind of upset that they gave it to The Miz, but I understand why they did it because, I mean, he can bring the most heat between everybody, all the wrestlers, because people hate The Miz.
Isn't that the name of the game is getting heat, whether it's face heat or heel heat. That's the name of the game.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. So.
Yeah, I mean, but will Otis ever get his chance to be WWE champion? No, I don't see it, never will, never won't.
Now, but don't talk that much. Now, on SmackDown from Friday night, I don't know if you saw SmackDown, but Otis was one of the big stories from SmackDown because he turned heel.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Otis is now a heel, part of the Alpha Academy, and in his match, he went a little bit bonkers, and he is now officially a heel wrestler, which I think is a good move for him in that current tag team division. I think Otis is going to be basically a tag team wrestler, but the way they are also positioning him is almost like a Dusty Rhodes, as being that blue collar working man is what they call him right now. So I wouldn't say he won't be a champion, but more than likely tag team IC champion. That's probably in his wheelhouse.
Well, I'm going to go back into the Memphis era. Doesn't he remind you of the Sheepherders?
I think there's a lot of what he does, probably an homage to the Sheepherders, the way he comes to the ring, marching and all that. And yeah, he's got that wild look about him.
There was another team. What were they had? The
Moondogs.
The Moondogs.
The Moondogs. Oh, man.
The Moondogs.
I love the Moondogs. I'm not kidding. They had some wild matches. If you get a chance to check out the Moondogs against anybody in Memphis wrestling, I mean, whatever the tag team was, the Fabulous Ones, they had some great heat with them. Just a fun tag team to watch. And one of the Moondogs, can't remember which one, he was involved in that famous Tupelo concession stand brawl with Wayne Ferris, who went on to become the Honky Tonk Man.
And but the Moondogs, he reminds me of the Moondogs right off the bat with the beard, the way his body is. But he's perfect. He should be an IC champion. He should be a U.S. champion right now. And they're really pushing him down, and I can understand why, because that's just what the WWE does.
Yep.
But this Elimination Chamber has some exciting matches, and also has some matches that we were like, why did you just turn this stuff over to him?
Well, I was kind of surprised that they started off with the Elimination Chamber from SmackDown, and the winner of that would become the next contestant for Roman Reigns. Although, when you take a look at what happened in the match, and how it came about with Baron Corbin going out first, that surprised me. And I think Zayn was really surprised, because he texted me talking about how good Baron Corbin was doing in the match. And I'll have to talk to him about that. But as it went on and went on, you know, you had Kofi Kingston get out, and then you had Daniel Bryan was the eventual winner of the Elimination Chamber. And out comes Roman Reigns. I thought, wow, we're going to have this match right now, but I understood why in just a few minutes. So were you surprised that they had Daniel Bryan win that particular Elimination Chamber?
Yes, I was. I was very surprised. I really figured they were not going to have Daniel Bryan win that. But you know what? It's time for Daniel Bryan to, you know, go back into the limelight. But I don't know. The way things are with the WWE and the way they're changing titles left and right, and now we know that who's going to be for WrestleMania, a lot of people online are like, okay, we have Roman Reigns and an old guy. But we also have...
But the way they did it, I enjoyed that aspect of it. I enjoyed Edge coming out and putting the spear on Roman Reigns, and even though some people are upset because he is an older wrestler, and you know that, you know, that's neither here nor there for me. I mean, he had to end his career early because of that neck injury, and I think he had at least another 7 years in him, and you know, he's not really that old. You complained about Sting being 61, him being in the ring. And Edge is not that old, you know, so he can still go. Jerry Lawler is still going. And then also Bill Dundee is still going, you know, in smaller promotions. But this old guy thing, the only reason I get upset with some of the old guys is because they're not in there to put over some of the new talent. And who knows what's going to happen to Mania with Roman Reigns and Edge.
Well, it's true. I mean, look at Bill Dundee. He's 77. He's still going in the ring. Jerry Lawler is 71. He's still going in the ring, which I have no idea how that's possible because he's kissed the Grim Reaper on the lips about maybe four or five times with all the heart attacks and strokes. I don't know how he's still doing it. But you tell me this. Do the new fans like to see the old wrestlers back because it brings them back to their era? Or is it that the WWE just wants to bring the old talent back and see if there's something still left in them that they can bring, they can draw money?
It's all about drawing money. I mean, is Edge's story, is it a wonderful story? Because, I mean, really, that night he retired from wrestling after, having his neck issue and having to have that surgery. I mean, I had a tear in my eye. I mean, I never was a big Edge fan, to be honest with you. It was okay, just not one of those. But the story about him at the age of 47, now that's not that old. It might be for an NFL player, but not for a professional wrestler. Yes, he's at the end of his career. Probably most of the real stars are going to be 35 to 45, but 47, you know, it's not that bad. You know, it's not like Sting being 61. But how it's going to be marketed, and I think we've talked about this many times, they are in the business of making money. Do they think Edge is selling T-shirts? Do they think Edge is putting, as you so eloquently put it, putting butts in the seats, which means viewership now? And it all comes back to that rating. Now, we've talked about this a couple of times before, Chris. When they bring back some of these old guys, they see a bump in their ratings because people are nostalgic for the Attitude Era or the different eras there, because that's when wrestling was the most popular over the last 25 years. So that's the reason they're doing that. And can Edge still go? If you saw that match at WrestleMania, that last man standing match with Randy Orton, yeah, he can still go. Yeah. So I have no problem with that. I know some of the internet people are whining and moaning, which they have every right to do. I'm just trying to put a little spin on it that makes sense to our listeners that are going, yeah, now that Dave says that, he might be dumb, but he's also ignorant. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's true. No, you're not ignorant whatsoever, but the internet people are kind of mad when you mix turkey and mashed potatoes together on Thanksgiving. So here we go again. The problem that I'm having with it is there's so much talent that's being pushed back because, the Attitude Era wants to relive everything. And I understand what they're doing this for. It's for the money. It's for the ratings. But when is enough enough for the new talent to be brought out and shown, look, this is the new era right here? But I understand. I mean, I would love to see Stone Cold Steve Austin in WrestleMania. That'll never happen, not in my lifetime. I would love to see, Hulk Hogan, but no, that's not going to happen either. But I don't know. A lot of people are saying, well, it's going to be, Edge versus Roman Reigns.
But
well, they were not calling him Edge. They were calling the old guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
it's not Goldberg.
Yeah. Is it going to be like a changing of the guard, though? You know, is it going to be, and that's my problem with some of these older wrestlers coming out of retirement or whatever they're doing is, they are taking the place of some young talent, but the young talent, when they have their opportunity, they need to seize the day and show what they can do. And that's why I'm so upset with what they did with Otis. You know, Otis, yes. They give Otis the money in the bank, and they might have had it all planned ahead of time. He might have been okay with what happened because they told him ahead of time that the Miz was going to cheat you out of it and all that. We don't know that for a fact. But Otis, you think about Otis and how over he was with his storyline, and how over that tag team was. They were getting just massive pop from the crowds. They were selling merch. They were, you know.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, The Miz cheats him out. They move The Miz to Monday Night Raw. They could do that lame court case with JBL being bribed by The Miz. You know, it's all storyline, but it took Otis about 10 steps backwards where he had gained and gained and gained. And then it's all of a sudden, let's put the brakes on him, break up that tag team, not do anything with Tucker. I mean, he's doing nothing now. And then they take Otis and they put him in with Chad Gable and the Alpha Academy. And now they're finally doing something with him, but they're turning him heel.
Yeah.
They had something so good going. And then I don't know who put the brakes on it. I'm not making accusations, but boy, they've done that before. They've taken bright young talent and just put the kibosh on them. And I'll put out Ricochet out there. Bo Dallas, Bo Dallas, he might never wrestle again. That's what people are saying now. I hope he does. I hope he comes back as part of the Wyatt family, you know. But you see, when they start getting some heat, whether it's heel heat or face heat, then all of a sudden they're out of there. I don't understand it. I don't understand. I know there's only so many places that people have, you know, there's only so much time on TV. There's only so much time on Raw, although they could probably put about five more matches on Raw and have a better show. But why they take this heat, these performers, EC3 is one. They were building him up, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's out of there. And now I'll see what he's doing. So that's my problem with some of the old guys coming in. It's taking some of the bread and butter out of some of the younger guys' mouths.
That's true.
They're not even giving them a chance to draw and to be that heat, or even to be enhancement talent. You know, they need enhancement talent right and left. So I don't know what the answer is, man. So.
They dropped the ball with EC3. He could have been a big heel at the time with the WWE. They dropped the ball on that. They dropped the ball with everybody that they have gained. And for some odd reason, and we know who the person is that does this.
Yeah.
And he's lost in the time. And so, we've all said it.
Yeah, we've all said it, that he needs to either loosen up the reins or give up the reins. One of the two, he really does need to do that. No, whether it's going to happen, no, probably not. So.
Well, no, it's not going to happen. They're going to have a Ouija board when that man passes away and still ask him what they want to do for a pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's no telling, but what was the biggest shock of the night for you?
It was The Miz. But and I'll let Zane, when we talk to Zane, he'll talk about this a little bit more. But when Jeff Spicoli,
danger is my business,
Matt Riddle wins the U.S. Championship, I'm going, now the dude, I always say the dude can go in the ring. He's okay in the ring. He sells really well, but that character looks so fake. It doesn't look like he's real. And I cannot stand somebody that is trying to be something. And I don't know the man from nothing. I'm sure he's a stoner. I'm sure he's done all kinds of things. But does he walk around all the time going, bro, and all that? No.
Bud, what's your problem?
He's got to be an intelligent human being. And I just don't think the character works for me. Now, you might be a big Riddle fan, but for me as a fan, it doesn't work. And that was my biggest surprise. But I was really hopeful, and I'm hoping that Keith Lee has a legitimate injury, and that's why he was not involved when he was supposed to be, and they replaced him with John Morrison. And I've been hearing that Lee has been injured, so I'm really hopeful. I'm hoping they're not going to be putting a EC3 tag on Keith Lee, because he is limitless Keith Lee. He hasn't appeared on TV in the 2 weeks prior to the Elimination Chamber. Maybe, you know, they might be looking at doing something else with Keith. I even heard some people speculating, or read about this, that he was going to join the Hurt Business or Retribution.
Well, he needs to be with the Hurt Business, and what better way if Bobby Lashley didn't win, you know, if he retained the U.S. title and Keith Lee comes, he wins the Elimination Chamber, he's the new WWE champion, and the Hurt Business just, they have all the titles now except for the Intercontinental. Well,
that's on the other show.
I'm sorry. But the thing of it is that Keith Lee is a go-getter. He's good on the mic. He's excellent in the ring. And, folks, if you want to hear some things about Keith Lee when he first started with the WWE, go on YouTube and look it up, and you will be surprised what's going on with him. But also, if you will go on to YouTube now, there's a lot of things about Big E, and he's not too happy with the WWE as it is, and neither is Kofi Kingston. Gosh, what are they doing with these people? I mean, they bury them so fast.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with E. I mean, they did a spot on SmackDown the other night where Apollo Crews attacked, and Apollo Crews picked up one of the ring steps, and Big E had been knocked out of the ring and was laying on the ground, and then they had Apollo Crews pick up the ring steps and throw it over the top rope, and they're saying that Big E was injured from that. I think that's probably storyline. But what they're doing with Kofi Kingston, people have been talking about wanting the New Day to break up. Is this going to lead to a further New Day breakup? But Apollo Crews and Big E is pretty good storytelling right now on SmackDown.
It is.
I'm enjoying that because Apollo Crews needed something to draw heat to him. Great body, very athletic. He's been approached as this babyface enhancement talent, and now he's going for the IC title as a heel, and I think it suits him. I think he's doing a great job on that.
Well, they did a great job with it, and if you look on YouTube again, you will find Paul E. Dangerously talking to him about, you know, what happened. You were in the ring with him, and you had a chance to win, although both your shoulders were down. You're not the undisputed Intercontinental Champion. And it was true what Paul E. said, but man, there's so much talent these guys have, but they only do it for certain people. Yeah. I just don't get it.
A couple of weeks ago on SmackDown, they opened up the show inside the dressing room with Roman Reigns, and he is talking to Apollo Crews. A lot of people have forgotten that from, I think it was 3 weeks ago on SmackDown. Me, I have a photographic memory up here, and I remember that there was that time, and the speculation was by Michael Cole and them saying, wow, why is he talking? Is he going to join the family? And who knows? Is he going to become part of the bloodline? You know, there's a lot of ways they can go with it that sometimes, and Chris, this is a mild criticism, okay?
Okay,
sometimes
go ahead.
We don't, as fans, we don't let the storylines develop. We question it as it happens. We say, why did they do that? And if they are doing it right, they have a plan. Now, sometimes I will tell you right now the WWE doesn't have much of a plan because of the way their storylines go. but maybe That's they true. Do. And I'm going to take you back to, I think it was last year, on one of our Turnbuckle Trash podcasts, Zane asked this very pertinent question. He says, why does the build-up to WrestleMania have the best storylines? Why do they have all these great things happening, and then after WrestleMania, it's all bleh? And that, and boy, is it was that. I mean, Zane hit it on the head, didn't he?
He hit it on the head right there. I mean, they always build up WrestleMania. They have the storylines. They have the package for it. But after that, all their other pay-per-views, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, it just goes away.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. But I'll tell you the best thing, and I was hoping and praying I wanted to see this match. Although Edge is from the Attitude Era, I wanted to see him go against Finn Balor.
Yeah, I did too.
New era versus old era. But, I mean, NXT right now is probably the hottest thing that WWE has.
It's the best thing. It's the best thing they have going at this moment. That's my opinion. I love NXT.
Let's have Edge go against Finn Balor, the Prince. But then you have Roman Reigns and Edge, and people are like, yawn, we don't want to see this. But it doesn't make any sense. I mean,
well,
you can create a storyline with Edge and Finn Balor that would be epic.
Well, Chris, so, the whole thing is what's going to get ratings? What's going to get people tuning in to WrestleMania? I mean, we can talk about us being fans of professional wrestling. We can talk about, we are true wrestling fans because they aren't necessarily programming to you and I. They're out there trying to say, well, coming up WrestleMania weekend, what's going to give us two nights of ratings on the Peacock network, especially this year? They're really going to be pushing this for the Peacock network because Fastlane on March 21st is going to be the first pay-per-view that's going to be available on the Peacock network. Now, remember, that is the network that is owned by NBC and Comcast, which also owns the USA Network. So they're going to be looking at trying to build things for that. And they're trying to say, do more people know Roman Reigns and Edge than they know Finn Balor and Edge? That's one of the things they have to look at as how they're booking this. So as a wrestling fan, I'm saying, yeah, I would rather see Finn Balor and Edge go at it, but I understand why they've done this because Edge made his name on SmackDown.
But now we have a new WWE champion. So my question is, who's going to be the number one contender? And I've already got my stake in that. That's been misused so much. It's going to be Samoa Joe, but we already know that Samoa Joe has been on the injured list for so long. But I would love to see Samoa Joe versus whoever. But there's another person I'd like to see, and that would be The Fiend. But he's like John Cena. We can't see.
And so they're going to be setting up something with The Fiend and Randy Orton for WrestleMania. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
A lot of people were speculating that it was going to be happening, that something was going to happen on the Elimination Chamber, but Randy Orton was the first one out of that chamber match.
Yeah, he was, and I can see Randy Orton's frustration when he was the first eliminated because, I mean, Randy Orton was hot at the time with SmackDown and The Fiend, but then he's the first one to go. I mean, come on, guys. If you're going to push a man, push him. If you're not, let him go and do something else with the new talent. I mean, I don't know how much we can bang our head against the wall and hopefully that somebody will listen.
Yeah.
But it's really no telling. I don't know what else to say or do anymore. I just look at it and just scratch my head.
Well,
what do you want to do?
That's true. But, you know, remember, we're still a couple of months away from
from
WrestleMania. And there's a lot of things that could happen. Now, tonight, The night that we're recording this is going to be Monday Night Raw will be happening. Mm-hmm. And you're a lucky man because you get it live. You know, yeah. You get it like 3 hours before I do. And you've had this this thing of saying, well, text Dave or send a message to Dave and tell him what happened. And I'm going to kill you, you dude. You know, don't spoil it from me. And then I watch it. I usually watch it the next day so I can go past the boring parts of Monday Night Raw. So I can take that 3 hours and get it down to 2 hours and 15 minutes at the most.
I keep forgetting about the time zone and everything. It's like, oh, my gosh, you should see what they just did. And you're like, stop. Don't tell me anything. Please. I'm sorry. But, well, was there anything else on the Elimination Chamber that you really liked, the women's matches?
I thought it was a very fun match, a tag team match with Reginald coming mm-hmm. out, and I don't know where that's going to completely go, but I was expecting mm-hmm. him to kind of shake up that champagne bottle and then like he was going to spray it into Nia Jax's eyes instead of throwing the bottle in there for Sasha Banks to get disqualified or get distracted with. So I don't know where that's going to go because Carmella's still in the picture. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't know who has the WWE network. And I know everything's going to be switching to the Peacock network pretty soon. But if you get a chance to watch Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions.
Oh, it was good.
He did one with Bayley that I just finished. And then... Mm-hmm. He's done one now that's on the one that just dropped last night is with Sasha Banks. And I'm going to give Stone Cold so much credit here. He has learned to become a fascinating interviewer. Now, I don't know.
Yeah,
and then another show that Stone Cold is doing, it's on the USA Network right after Monday Night Raw. It's a 30-minute show where he talks to celebrities. He takes them out mm-hmm. talking about their career. They do a couple of fun little things. Although he had that guy from Jackass on last week. I don't like that show, Jackass. I don't like anything to do with that show. And it was not as good as some of his other ones. But that's okay, you know. You can't be on top of it. But that is fascinating television because Steve Austin has learned the art of doing an interview. And he learned that by being a professional wrestler. He had to learn how to do promos, and now he's learned how to do an interview. I'm sure he was sitting back and listening to Jim Ross and Howard Finkel and all these guys that were doing interviews and found out how to be an interviewer. And if you get a chance to watch any of those Broken Skull Sessions, they are incredible. He's done one with Jerry Lawler, Undertaker, just a bunch of them. And he really is good.
Oh, he's perfect at that. I mean, Austin is great at everything he does. And, I mean, I love the character of Austin. It was, you know, down home. We all wanted to give our boss the finger every time. But Austin has found his character now with the Broken Skull interviews, and I sat down and I watched the one with Bayley and Sasha Banks. But Sasha Banks was telling a story about her and the way she was feeling about the WWE at the time. And there were some things I had no idea about, but she came out and said it. But it's interesting with Austin. And guys, if you want to hear things about the WWE and the wrestlers, please watch this show, and you're going to find things out that you had no idea about.
Yeah, and
but they're open minded. Yeah,
it's just fascinating stuff. And the WWE Network, I'm a little bit worried about it moving to the Peacock Network, and how are they going to be moving all the interviews and everything going to be available there? I think there's still a lot to be shaken out in the wash about that, but I'm hopeful for it. So looking forward to that and the rest of the road to WrestleMania. So I'm just going to ask you, Chris, because you always like to give ratings to the different events. What would you say about Elimination Chamber?
3.5 stars.
Three and a half.
I'll give it that. I'll give it 3.5 stars.
Out
of five, 3.5. It was one of their, not the best pay-per-view, but it was good. But you and I have talked about this, and even Zane talked about it. It's just the crowd and the Thunderdome. It just took everything out of professional wrestling. There's no fans really there, so.
Now,
I don't know.
The Thunderdome. I don't know if you saw what I posted on the Turnbuckle Trash Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday night, SmackDown, honestly, mm-hmm. it was so bad, that piped-in noise. It sounded like, if you've ever done one of those telephone wires where you do a rope or a piece of string from two tin cans and talk to each other, that sound. It was.
That's what it was. Yep,
and it was so distracting, it was driving me nuts. And they could do better.
It takes everything away. It takes everything away.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what's real and what's not with the Thunderdome, and it's getting so annoying with these fans that are on the TVs, and we just keep looking around. It's like, man, this is what's really killing the wrestling, except for AEW. I mean, they bring in live people, and so many can be there, and the WWE has not attempted to do this.
They do it on a limited basis on NXT. They have a mixture of wrestlers and other people that are there live, and I wish the main shows would do something like that to add some crowd. The Thunderdome, to me, is so distracting. And I talked about, the people making faces and getting their kids, putting them in front of the camera and bouncing them on their knee. Hi, I'm 3 years old and I like the WWE. It distracts me so much, And as a fan, I'm ready for that to be over with. And there has been talk about WrestleMania having some fans. Fingers crossed.
Let's hope so, because that's like the Super Bowl of wrestling, and we're all looking forward to seeing what WrestleMania is going to be about this year. I'm looking to see maybe like the Super Bowl. They had 22,000 fans, maybe. Maybe they will do that because they're going to have it a two-day event. Guys, this is the biggest show of the year. Everybody's waiting for WrestleMania, and now because of the pandemic, what is going to happen? Are they just going to have the Thunderdome, or are they going to bring in fans?
Don't know
what
yet.
Are they going to do?
Don't know yet. We'll have to find out. And I don't think they have enough time to sell 20,000 tickets, to be honest.
No,
with you.
There's no way. There's no way.
They'll be lucky. But, maybe if they put in some seating for a couple of thousand and spread them out a little bit, I think that would be okay. Yeah, I'm done with the Thunderdome. I wish they would just get rid of it and bring in some fans, or just bring in the wrestlers and some backstage people like All Elite did at the beginning of the pandemic to give that feel that was so important, that as we all talk about all the time, we need that interaction with fans. And I just hope they'll wake up to it a little bit. So
let's hope so. But breaking off from WWE, I text you about someone that took a bump in AEW, and the memes were coming out about him. What did you think about Sting taking that power bomb?
Well, you and I disagree with this a little bit. I know you were surprised when you were saying that Sting at 61 years old is too old to be taking a bump like that. That was a very powerful power bomb. But if you watch the replay, Sting got his arms out. He absorbed the amount of impact on the mat itself, and that's the way you're supposed to do that. So I'm okay with that. If Sting's okay with that, he knows the risk. He's a professional. I'm going to tell you this, and you might be a little surprised by this. Zane agreed with me, but for a different reason, because I asked him what he thought about it, and Zane's response was, at least it wasn't a buckle bomb, which is one of the most dangerous moves in professional wrestling, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what that injured Sting and ended his career in the WWE was that buckle bomb from Seth Rollins.
I will agree with that. I'll agree with that.
But yes. Sting says it was not Seth Rollins' fault. We want to put that out there too. So
the only thing that I have a problem with is this man has coming off of surgery on the neck, and he knew what was going to happen. But like Jim Cornette said, the man is nothing but pure business. That made him look kind of ridiculous at times, but like he's a man of business. He's going to do what has to be done for business. I cringed when I watched that powerbomb. I was like, oh, this is not
good. It was nasty. It was nasty.
It was very nasty.
Now, staying on with All Elite Wrestling, a lot of people have been talking a lot about the upcoming match. I think it's March the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in March anyway, with Cody and Red Velvet against Shaq and his partner. I can't remember her name right off hand. Shaquille O'Neal has had this fascination with professional wrestling for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's performed in the WWE every year at WrestleMania. You'd always hear, is Shaq going to be going against the Big Show? Several years in a row that happened. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to get his chance. Is he going to make a fool of himself?
Yes.
I think Shaq agrees.
Shaq does not need wide brain. I know that Shaquille O'Neal is a top name in the NBA, four-time NBA champion, but the man does not belong in a wrestling ring.
Now he has some skills. He practices MMA, so he knows how to do that kind of stuff.
Shaq Fu. Yeah.
That's
Shaq
right.
Fu. Go ahead.
Shaq Fu. That's almost like redneck Kung Fu from the Briscoe brothers.
Now, if anybody can say this, if you were a NES, Nintendo, PlayStation, they had a video game called Shaq Fu. And that just bombed so badly. But Shaq Fu, that's what it is.
Shaq Fu. My main problem was they were setting up this match last week on All Elite Wrestling, and they had a training video. Well, I'm expecting to see a training video of them working out in the ring. No, it was all this girl shooting baskets and Shaq shooting free throws. Wow, what a training video that was, he said sarcastically. So that's coming up in March, whether it's going to work or not. I'll wait and see. I'll watch it. Right now I'm criticizing it because there's no real setup to it. And I know with Brandi Rhodes becoming pregnant, because originally Brandi was supposed to be in the ring, that probably took some of the heat off of it. So we'll just kind of keep that in mind.
It did. But now with AEW, you heard the latest controversy.
With Sammy?
With AEW. Well, that too, but there was also a slip-up by an announcer.
It could happen, man. I'm not gonna criticize good old JR for saying WWE title because a slip in the tongue when you've done something for years. And I'm gonna go back to my own professional radio announcing career. When you switch stations and you've worked at one station for years. And for some reason, you're not going to say, like I used to say, cool 103.9, or when I was working on two stations, cool 103.9 and classic rock 95.9 KLZX. Every once in a while, I got those two messed up. So I'm not going to, it happens, man. I'm not going to criticize the man, but I'm going to go back to, I think it was last Friday on SmackDown. Because something, when you said that, reminded me of a slip-up. And I'm not sure if they got into trouble with this. And, yeah, I think it was on SmackDown. Kevin Owens was getting ready for that six-man tag. And Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan were talking backstage. And Kevin Owens comes up. So we're going to talk some strategy. And Daniel Bryan and Kofi are kind of kind of joking around a little bit, and they're saying, well, you know, can we trust you? Yeah, you can trust me. Well, you don't have a real good reputation. You've turned your back on Sammy. You turned your back, and they start naming off all these people. And then mm-hmm. Kofi says, and you turn your back on that guy that kept on with the list.
I love that. That was perfect.
And I started laughing because one of my prized possessions I still have in the box is from mm-hmm. the Friendship Festival that they did mm-hmm. with Chris Jericho, who was doing the, yep. You just made the list at the time, and Kevin Owens. I've mm-hmm. got that still in the box from the WWE. And I look at that sometimes, and it just makes me laugh every time. When Kofi Kingston said that, I bet you Chris Jericho got the biggest kick out of that.
Oh, I know he had to. It's all business for Chris Jericho. And I think he put that on his podcast as well and his Facebook page, Chris Jericho. And that was just, it was awesome to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Kofi is all business too. And,
yeah.
But it was funny that they're going back and forth.
All Elite Wrestling yeah. is letting some of their talent do other things. I mean, when the Machine Brian Cage first came to
yep.
All Elite Wrestling, he's also uh-huh. doing other things. And one of the things he did was on an independent show where our friend, the MK Bandit, was a mm-hmm. wrestling manager. And I'm not sure if he was with Sam Adonis on this particular event or not, but mm-hmm. MK took a powerbomb from the same man that gave the powerbomb to Sting last Wednesday night. So they're allowing some of their wrestlers to do other things. Now, in New Japan and All Elite have this little thing going, and I have no problem with that. I wish the WWE would lighten up and let some of their wrestlers say, you know what, I am not really under contract to you because you're not paying my health insurance, you're not paying my travel plans. I'm an independent contractor. According to you, let me act like one. And I think eventually yeah. the WWE is going to be in a lot of trouble by calling these people independent contractors and not letting them be an independent contractor. There's a big difference in the way the WWE handles their talent than what All Elite is doing right now.
Well, they've been mishandling their talent ever since. I mean, when the WWE, when they changed from the WWF to the WWE, it's just been a mess. Basically, it was a mess.
Well, Chris, we're going to be joined by Zane on our next segment. And any final words?
Really, no final. Well, I got a couple of final words, guys. Please, everybody, get on YouTube and look at the past wrestling. Get on to the Days of the Territory on Facebook. I'm on there on that page right now, and it's so much fun to watch. I hope you guys liked the post that I put with one of the greatest matches I have ever seen is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Ric Flair in, I think it was in Chicago.
It was in Chicago, yeah.
That was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. Those two sold perfectly. And
one of the greatest rivalries ever in professional wrestling, those two.
Yes, it was. Now, the second one was Ric Flair, I'd have to say, with Terry Funk, but that one kind of went sideways. But what do you think about this death match that's fixing to happen with Moxley and Kenny Omega?
Don't have a problem with it. I mean,
no.
I mean, there's been a lot of people, and you won, have said, you know, mm-hmm. you got to, you know, let's bring back some blood, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a bloody mess. That's not my thing. I prefer the real physical matches, you know, without mm-hmm. the blood, to be honest with you. And I'll take you back to Hell in the Cell a couple of years ago, tag team match. The Usos mm-hmm. against yep. the New Day was one of the most yep. physical matches I have ever seen. They beat the holy out of each other,
mm-hmm.
but there was no blood. And it was so good, one of my favorite matches of all time as far as special matches go. So do mm-hmm. I have a problem with them doing this barbed wire, Texas, whatever they're going to call it? Nah.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be my thing. I might not really like it, but, you know, hey, I'll probably watch it, though.
Let's hope so. Well, that's all I've got to say, and there's one more legend that has asked fans to quit sending him, you know, fan mail. And that's the great Terry Funk. He's asked fans to just let him live out his life. I mean, how old is that man now?
Oh, geez, he is so old. They had Dory Funk on All Elite last week. Dory Funk was in the audience. Yeah, he was in. And they talked a little bit about Terry, who evidently, you know, has some health issues and a lot of pain. But, you know, he put his body through way too much.
Oh, he did.
You know, and
I know he lost his wife about maybe 2 months ago.
Oh, I didn't.
And that's when he just went. That's when he said, you know what, I don't want the fan mail. I don't want this. I just want to, you know, live up my life in peace and, you know, leave me alone. And if you want to see some good Terry Funk matches, people, go to, you know, Memphis. I mean, he has some great matches in Memphis. The MC Arena match with Jerry Lawler was probably one of the best ones I've seen.
It was one of the best matches ever. And I'll go back to when I met Vince Russo about a year and a half ago. And we still got to get Vince on the podcast. But Vince was talking about, because he found out I was from Memphis. He says, what did you think of that empty arena match? And I said, Lawler and Funk won, classic match. And he says, that was where they got the idea for The Rock and against Mankind.
Yeah. Mankind.
They took it directly from what happened with Funk and Jerry Lawler. One of the classic matches of all time, that empty arena. I'll guarantee you people will love watching that.
Oh, I know they will.
We'll try to put it onto our Facebook page, okay?
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and puppy dogs, as someone would always say, of all ages, I'm about to hit the hay, got to get up in the morning and do this all over again. It was an honor to be on Turnbuckle Trash again. We'll have to do this later. And Zane, you know, always late to the party as usual. So sorry, sir. And guys, keep the Facebook page alive. And if you have any questions about professional wrestling, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
Yes, we do.
Get ready for the big payback.
It's time to take out the trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponent's cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Dave, I'm back.
I'm glad to have you back.
I haven't really gone anywhere. But, dude, can you believe this? Like, it's been a few weeks in a row, and I've been able to set time aside for you, Dave.
And who says miracles don't exist anymore in this world?
So, Dave, I got an idea.
What's that?
Let's talk about pro wrestling.
I think that would be that? Fun and educational. I still got that radio voice.
I don't know. Every time you do your phony baloney radio voice, it makes me laugh so bad.
Well, before we get into professional wrestling, let me tell you a little radio story here, okay? When I was doing a two-man show in Mid-Missouri as the radio guys, my partner and I, Eric, we were pretty funny guys. And then our main competitor was a station out of Mexico, Missouri, and they decided they wanted a two-man radio show too. And they were trying to copy what we were doing but they weren't natural at it. You know, they would do things and try to be funny, and they would do that, what I call a professional radio laugh, and go, you know, really fake, nervous laughter. And every time that Eric and I would tell a really bad joke, we'd go, fake radio laugh. They lasted 2 weeks. Well, it was so bad. I mean, they were just, anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk professional wrestling. All right. Okay.
Professional wrestling.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Elimination Chamber.
First, give me your overall, if you were to sum it up in like 45 seconds, tell me how you would explain it to me.
I would say that the opening Elimination Chamber was good. That was for the Universal title opportunity with Daniel Bryan eventually getting to take on none other than Roman Reigns, the head of the table, and then having Edge come out and make his final plans by spearing Roman. I thought that was good. I enjoyed the little twist, and then I enjoyed the last little bit when we got the Elimination Chamber and Drew gets that chance again to say he's the WWE champ, and then there was that twist that we saw coming, but we didn't see coming with none other than The Miz, and I loved it.
Oh, dude, for once, Elimination Chamber had a little twist.
Uh-huh.
Like, we were just getting, we were just, making fun of it, saying it's a worthless pay-per-view. I enjoyed it for what it was,
mm-hmm.
Kind of the setup or whatever, but, I liked most of the matches. I thought were pretty good. That first Elimination Chamber match was a quality match. I mean, Sami Zayn, why is he not, running the show, man? Like, they should have Sami up against Roman, or, like, Sami and Roman, like, a faction or something. Like, those two would be good at that, it was good to see Sami get some more, time in front of the spotlight, because I think he's another one of those ones that's super, super, super misused. I mean, that guy is so good.
Oh, and that current role is
so good.
That current role he's doing right now with the conspiracy theory against him after he lost the IC championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm loving his work, and he's got that that little film crew following him around. Just, he makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily comedy wrestling, but it's storyline, almost humorous wrestling. I like what he's doing a lot right now. So,
there was some other good spots, some other high spots and stuff that were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Any time AJ Styles is involved with anything at all, I mean, that there's going to be some quality wrestling.
I would say right now he's probably, if not the best all around performer. I would say he's got to be in the top two. I mean, he can play a heel,
and
play a face. It's great.
Yeah. And and a guy like him, they need to use him while they've got him, because, it's hard to stay healthy. And I want to talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit later. I'll bring this up real quick, and then we'll finish off the interview. But I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast. He had Mark the Undertaker Calloway. It's so weird just to call him Mark Calloway. I like, the Undertaker. He'll always be the Undertaker, right?
Right.
So I want to talk about that later. But, yeah, it was a good pay-per-view, good stuff. Pretty good quality matches. That twist at the end was awesome.
With Mr. Money in the Bank, it was great.
Who just doesn't love The Miz, dude?
We do.
Dude, it's so good to see him back on top. Because you and I have been like gangbusters for this for the last probably, 4 years, 5 years maybe even?
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was almost like The Miz had to start over from his last WWE title reign. When he fought, when he did John Cena, was that WrestleMania 27?
I think so, yeah.
That was a good match, too. Like, if you go back and watch that, there was that, up on the when they were up on fighting underneath the Titantron and on the entranceway and stuff, like, that was good stuff.
And you remember when he was battling, I think it was Dolph Ziggler, just a few years ago, and we said that was the feud of the year. I mean, they were just tearing it up. Two great performers there. So, well, I've got a little something I'm going to play right here about The Miz.
I can't believe The Miz is WWE champion again.
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I am a master strategist. I think further than anybody else in all of WWE. I didn't just take respect, I demanded it.
All the top superstars of my generation have come and gone, and here I am still standing. I've taken them all out. All the Batistas who's doing buddy cop movies. Cena, you want to see him? Check out an Experian commercial. The list goes on and on. All of the Titans have been lighted, but they don't measure up to my longevity, my star power, my tenacious attitude. I am holding this title in front of you because I deserve it. I didn't ask for your respect. I demanded it. I am your WWE champion, whether you like it or not. 10 years ago, we had an angry Miz girl, and I hope and I pray that there are thousands upon thousands, millions of angry Miz girls right here, right now, sopping, weeping, wishing that Drew McIntyre was still their WWE champion. He is not. I am.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
That was awesome.
I came to play. Yeah, I love The Miz. I do. I used to hate him. I used to hate him years ago, but when he started doing that tag team with John Morrison, and they started doing that, you know, when they were the tag team, and they started doing that, what do they call it, the dirt sheet? That's when I became a fan.
I got to tell you real quick, my kid, he loves those. You know, the WrestleMania, or like, not the WrestleMania, sorry, like the WWE crossover animated shows.
Uh-huh.
Like there was the WrestleMania Madness or whatever, and he's got them all friggin' memorized. And at the very start, you know, The Miz is running down the street and he's got his headphones in and he's listening to his own theme song. He's like, and he keeps saying, and my kid was, you know, he goes, "Who's awesome? I'm awesome. Who's awesome? I'm awesome." it's just funny to hear him sit and repeat The Miz. It's great. And you should have seen it the other day. He's sitting on the couch watching the WWE Big Show meets the Jetsons or something. And my wife got a picture of him sitting there in his Sin Cara mask watching the show.
Awesome.
I'm like, dude, that just makes that warms this old man's heart.
Now we know that's your boy then, huh? Well, you know.
Who says you can't live vicariously through your child,
that's
right?
That's true. A few months ago, I was watching a TV show. I couldn't even remember what it was. And all of a sudden, one of the characters on the TV show went, "Hey, hey, ho, ho." And I went, "Miz and Morrison, hey, hey, ho, ho." You know, it gets in your head after a while. You know, everything revolves around professional wrestling with us.
Oh, dude, and people don't get it, do they?
Some don't.
I talk in movie talk, and I'll talk in, like, song talk, and like, people don't get it. It's like, really? Like, come on, guys. Like, have you never seen Fletch before? Like, have you... Where do you not live? Like, do you not, like, have you never been alive before? You know?
Oh,
I'm,
yeah.
Like, come on, people.
I did the same thing. I rewatched the Blues Brothers a couple of weeks ago, and I texted one of my friends who lives in Provo, and I just quoted one line from, I know what it was. The new Oldsmobiles are here, and that's all I did. And he says, "Oh, watching the Blues Brothers," and I went, "Yep, that's my buddy." So, I know what
you're
saying.
That's awesome. Yeah. Like another day, I texted my friend Just go ahead and bill that to the Underhills account. You know, he knows right away that I'm talking about Fletch, you know. we just always like, I don't know, it's just great. But a little off course there. But, that was an interesting twist. It was fun. It was good. So what's going on? What's the future? What do you think is going to happen? Dave, wait, you got that crystal ball there?
Yeah, it's somewhere in the archives of my mind.
Probably dusty, man. That thing's probably dusty. You haven't got that out for a while.
No, I haven't. So
break it out real quick. Okay. See what's in the future.
What's in the future? The road to WrestleMania.
Oh, where's the sign? Did you point at the sign?
Oh, yeah. And did you see?
Imaginary point at the sign?
I'm pointing at the sign, but I found something today that I put on our Facebook page. If you remember last year, I think it's dated January the 28th of last year, you had a friend of yours, I think he lives in San Antonio, and they were going to do a Monday Night Raw mm-hmm. show, and that was when they were going to debut the WrestleMania logo where everybody pointed to the sign. And you had sent that to me, and I had saved it and put it on the Facebook page, and I remember I put it back on today because that was right before the pandemic hit. That was never shown on WWE, and you had that picture, and I thought that was awesome. So,
yeah, you know, that friend of mine, he was without power for a couple of days. Wow. That was a big deal down there in San Antonio when all that stuff hit, man.
Yeah, I had a friend in Corpus Christi that lives right along the coast, and they were without power for I think 3 days, and they were starting to run out of food, and that was a nasty situation. So in Texas. We're with you guys. So, but anyway, with the road to WrestleMania, I think one of the biggest things that's going to be happening is it's going to be on two nights again, like it was last year. And I'm thinking that the Fiend is going to be coming back around Fastlane to set up something with Randy Orton. If you watched Monday Night Raw this week, they had the bit where Randy was talking about the Fiend, and he started coughing, and he coughed up a black liquid. So, yeah, I'm going to take you back, though, to you. A couple of years ago, maybe last year or 2 years ago, on this very podcast, when you were saying, why can't the WWE have good storylines except going up to WrestleMania? Because you remember right after WrestleMania, a lot of times, storylines just go down the toilet, and they just do terrible, terrible storylines. And you were saying that, and I wonder if that's what we're seeing again, and I hope not. I'm hoping they can carry it on after Mania and still have good, strong storylines.
Well, they have a really big opportunity right now, and I hope that they take advantage of what's to come, because you know as well as I do, and we've talked about this, I think, last time, that coming out of this crap that we're in right now, that people are going to be hungry. Mm-hmm. And people are going to be hungry to get out, to go to live events, to see pro wrestling, to go to the WWE, to go to WrestleMania, to do, And so if they can keep people, interested and keep some good storylines going and not lose, we could see possibly – like an Attitude Era type of thing again, where, wrestling is, something that people are just casual fans are tuning into and checking out. And, and especially with the presence in Hollywood of like Dave Bautista and Cena and The Rock and all those specials like ESPN's been doing, and, we have some super, super good potential right now to really, really see the WWE shine.
Well, I hope so, because A&E Network, the A&E Network, is getting ready to do a show. I think it's starting in April. And then NBC has had two episodes so far of Young Rock. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch this yet. I'm loving it. It is very well done. It's kind of like young Sheldon, looking back and when he was younger. But there's three different actors playing The Rock at three different ages, and they have an actor playing Rocky Johnson, his dad, and then they have actors that are portraying The Iron Sheik, which I don't know if you heard me talk about this, but the actor that's playing the Iron Sheik has been a competitor on Worst Cooks in America on the Food Network. My wife was the one that recognized him, and it's definitely him because he's a stunt double for Arnold Schwarzenegger in a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. But here he is now doing this show with The Rock, and they have an actor playing Andre the Giant. They had Ric Flair on there the other night. And it's just, I think, very well done, and I think it's going to show people that watch this because they like The Rock that this wrestling is something that is just meant to be entertainment. And I'm hopeful that it will get some more fans saying, well, let's give wrestling a chance again because it's very well done. And then there's some other things in the works. I think it's on Showtime. I have to find this out. But Stephen Amell, the star of Arrow, who played the Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, is doing a series called Heels. And it's all about an independent promotion with him battling basically his brother for control of this promotion of professional wrestling. And, you know, Stephen Amell is a great actor. So you got things like that. You got Viceland that's doing the darker side of the ring, which is fascinating TV. And now with the WWE Network moving everything over to the Peacock Network, I'm excited for what's going on. Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work yet. I'm kind of interested in seeing how that's going to be.
So are we going to see, I mean, come on, dude, please don't tell me that The Miz, they're just going to make it into some joke. Like, they're going to run with this till Mania, right? Like,
well, a lot of people are saying that, no, it's going to be next week. Bobby Lashley's going to beat him in the ring. That would be stupid on their part. They could set up a great feud with Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, which would be good for both of them. And I think I put it on Real Wrestling, the Real Wrestling fans page today on their Facebook page. Somebody was saying that they thought Bobby Lashley was a mid-carder. And I'm going, no, he's not. No.
No way.
Where they're getting that from is the way he was mishandled when he first came back to the WWE. Remember, my sisters, I love you. No, people don't want to hear it. They want to hear somebody, Brock Lesnar, I'm going to come kick your can, you know?
That was a huge, huge mistake on the WWE's part because, you know, Brock Lesnar was hot and Bobby Lashley was just coming off he was the Impact World Champ.
Yep.
And he was super on fire in Impact, dude. I mean, he had some way good success in Impact.
And then he was also doing Bellator at the time too. So
I mean, what a missed opportunity.
Oh.
So I wonder what the purpose of this is. I mean, are they setting up a WrestleMania for next year with Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley? Maybe. I don't know.
I would love it.
Or is Brock done?
Yeah.
Is Brock done or is he gonna
I don't care. I'm not a Brock. But you know what? If I could see Brock Lesnar against Bobby Lashley, I would care because I think that would be a great matchup of two guys that have MMA backgrounds, also professional wrestling backgrounds. They could go in there and tear it up. And you and I have talked about that many times, but whether it will happen or not. But there's a new wrestler that's just been signed in NXT. They just made a big amount of signings that they're calling the next Brock Lesnar. 6'4", 350 pounds, and nothing but muscle. Played offensive lineman at Florida Central University, I think it was. So he's just in the training center now. But Paul Heyman is really high.
You know who he is? What's his name? Do you know what his name is?
Don't know right offhand. Then they have also signed Rick Steiner's son.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So.
So there's some good stuff going on, man. And, you know, I think we ought to let's shift into Overdrive and shift brands for a second. What about that huge signing by AEW this week?
It was like a really big show.
It was like 7 feet, 500 pounds show.
That's right. Paul White. The Big Show from the WWE. I love it.
Dude, oh, how awesome is that?
I mean,
you know there's going to be haters about it.
Oh, of course. They already are. It's another old guy. Yeah.
Who cares? Uh-huh. He's a name, dude. Get those. Bring them over. You know? Freaking offer the Undertaker $1 million to come wrestle Steam.
Uh-huh.
They'd have their return on investment that in one freaking night.
That's right. So going back to NXT real quick, also signing was Taya Valkyrie.
Oh, yeah.
That's John Morrison's wife and a former champion, not only in Impact, but I think she was in Lucha Underground. She's a big star in AAA, so that's going to be there. Bronson Rick Steiner is going to be there. Sean Richter, the former Eli Drake, now known as L.A. Knight, and he is going to be great in NXT. Not just good, great. And then I think it's Parker Boudreaux, the one I was talking about, 6'4", 300 pounds, offensive lineman for University of Central Florida. And Paul Heyman is really high on him. So they've signed a huge class. Awesome. And what are they, you know, we talk, what are they going to do with all these people? You know, what's going to happen? Where are they going to take them?
I don't know. I don't know, man. What is super, super stacked with talent? You know, I mean, you know, Dave, you got really talented guys like Matt Riddle in there.
Don't get me started. Hey, okay, now you opened up the can of worms here, dude. You opened it up because you texted me during that match with the triple threat with John Morrison, bro, and with Bobby Lashley. What did you tell me happened to you during that match? Tell me.
I think I texted you. I said, I fell asleep.
That was the worst match of the night. It was. And I'm just, you know, Riddle can go in the ring, but his character is so fake. You know, it's just like, come on, dude. I mean, Fast Times at Ridgemont High was so long ago, and that's who he is. I mean, he is Jeff Spicoli. That's all he is.
One thing I was going to tell you is it's kind of a little bit off topic, but somewhat relative because we did mention his name. Is I listened to the podcast with Joe Rogan, and it's been about a month ago or so. He had The Undertaker on there. It was almost 3 hours long. And wow, has that guy been through some crap, dude? I had no idea how, you know, I never thought about it till after this episode of how The Undertaker, like, you know, those dives and those, the agile fella that he was and as big as he was and as athletic as he was. And, dude, he was going through his list of injuries unreal.
And some pretty serious stuff.
But it was a super, super cool interview, though. I mean, again, that's one of those things that we were talking about earlier that like wrestling's it's coming back with a vengeance. And super good interview. If anybody gets the chance to listen to it and you know if you got 3 hours to spare, I highly recommend it. It does have a lot of language in it, you know, it's pretty unfiltered, but very, very good. You know, he talks about how he got his start in WWE and how, like, he paid this guy $2,000, and this guy was like he was kind of very well known on the independent circuit. Mm-hmm. He paid this guy $2,000, and like all he would do is like throw him down on his lawn and like beat him up and stuff, and he didn't learn anything from him.
Yeah,
and then he goes back and the guy, he goes back for the next week for his training session and the guy's gone. the guy packed up and left, moved to different territory.
That so, doesn't surprise me at all. So
So the Undertaker says, I don't know why, but he left his dogs behind. He's like, so I took his dogs. But Anyway, super good. And you should listen to it if you get a sec.
But, and Joe Rogan, you know, one of the big names in podcasting right now, he says he's basically going to leave podcasting for a while and maybe change up what he's doing. So that just came out recently. So, and that's a shame because he does such a great job.
You know, it's because of the, and we can talk about it another time, but you know, he gets a lot of flack every time he has a guest on there that somebody even remotely thinks is controversy. My hell, he makes the headlines in the news for a week, and people tweet and talk and talk trash and how he shouldn't be endorsing conspiracies and shouldn't be having people, you know, white supremacists on his podcast. And it's just that PC bull crap, the cancel culture crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's cause, you know, and he catches a lot of flack, man, for just asking questions.
That, you know, my feelings about people on social media. I mean, the keyboard culture.
I know.
They get that that little, I'm behind a keyboard. Nobody's going to come back and smack me across the mouth when I say this. So I'm just going to be mean. I mean, when Paul White signed with All Elite, some of the things that they were saying about he never could wrestle anyway. He's an old man, and he can't do anything on WWE anymore. So he's going to, you know, you get
what
into the ring. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you remember last year in the Royal Rumble when the Big Show was going to get eliminated and he hung on the top rope and literally lifted himself up, kept his legs straight out in the air, and lifted himself up and back into the ring. And we were talking back then about the athleticism of somebody that big and that powerful to be able to lift 500 pounds of your own weight back in the ring.
Yep.
No freaking way. That's a crock of crap. You know, and the thing is the Big Show, the best role in my favorite Big Show match, two favorite Big Show matches. Well, my favorite was John Cena versus Big Show for the U.S. title. That was a dang good match. It was fun. It was. I mean, and to see Cena pick him up and give him the AA. They didn't call it the AA back then, but you know. And my next favorite match was the Last Man Standing with him and Roman Reigns.
Oh, that was awesome!
And that was one of my favorite matches with the Big Show. You know, and we both, I remember when that match happened, and we both were like, that's the type of match that guy was, that him and Roman, you know, that storyline. I mean, that was perfect for that match. And, dude, they beat the living hell out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that a guy like that can't go anymore, that pisses me off.
Well, it's people that don't, it's people that don't really know. I mean, we don't know professional wrestling, but we appreciate what the guys do in the ring and how they do this stuff without killing themselves or hurting somebody else. That, to me, is the art of professional wrestling. These are the guys that are complaining about Paul White being All Elite now that, you know, they don't comprehend what these people do, the training that they have, and how they have worked on their craft and their art. And I'll say it again, professional wrestling is a performance art. And no, I will argue with anybody that it is nothing but like a community theater. You know, theater is theater, and this just happens to be very physical theater. But if they didn't have the training, they didn't have the athletic ability, they would hurt themselves, they would hurt others more than they already get hurt and injured. And I just, when people do that, it makes me mad.
In that podcast that I listened to with Undertaker, the Undertaker said in there, he said, you know, Joe said, mentioned something about trust. And we've talked about that a ton on here too. And I apologize if we sound like a broken record, but it's just, these things matter. And they're very relevant to professional wrestling in all eras. And the Undertaker said that he said, you know, you're literally 2 inches away from being paralyzed, severely injured, every time every move, everything you do in that ring, if you don't land, you know, a pile driver, a tombstone right, you're going to break somebody's neck. If you don't, I mean, you know, when Sid Vicious, that boot break, when he jumped off the top, that middle turnbuckle, I mean, you know, like, there is so much that can go wrong in a split second in that match.
Yeah, when Buff Bagwell got his neck broken live on WCW Monday Night Raw, and then you had Seth Rollins doing just a simple little move in Germany, and he blew his knee out. I mean, that was nothing. Yeah. He just blew his knee out. So the ones that complain about these guys that can't go, they are closet fans, and they don't understand what these guys go. So if we've got anybody as a performer,
they're just looking for a reason to be unhappy. You know, it's like, get on with your life. Get out of your mom's basement and go do something with your life, you know? You freaking...
Well, I can't, because I got to stay in mom's basement because I don't really want to do anything else but play video games and watch professional wrestling.
Worst comic book ever, you know?
That's true.
But I don't know. You know, those... what I was going to say, too, is The Undertaker talked about how throughout his years and the things that he did, he completely, utterly destroyed his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And he went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, lift your arm up for me. And he's like, the doctor's like, you can't, there's no way you can do that. He's like, the way your shoulder is destroyed right now, he's like, You shouldn't be able to lift anything. And he's like, okay. So it was it's part of your rotator cuff that goes down the center of your shoulder. It was completely destroyed. It was gone.
Oh, wow.
There was nothing left of it. It ripped right off the bone. It was gone. And so they operated on him, and they went back in there, and he said, we found it and the piece of bone that was attached to it.
Oh.
And we tried to stretch it out and reattach it, he says, but we couldn't get it to reattach. It was too tight. It had been blown out for too long.
Oh, wow.
So what they did was they cut the other part of your rotator cuff that connects to the back of your shoulder. They cut that and brought it up and over and attached it to the top of the shoulder so he could still have shoulder movement.
Wow.
I mean, modern freaking medicine, dude. I mean, how unreal is that? But the doctor told him, you know, he's like, this is your last, like this is your last chance. Like, this is it. If you destroy your shoulder again, it's done for. Like, we cannot repair it again. And so he's like, you know, me being the dumbass that I was, you know, I go back out and get right in the ring. But he said that he had to learn how to, he had to relearn how to do several moves because it was his right hand, right arm. He says, I'm right hand dominant. And he's like, so I had to learn how to pick people up, like in a tombstone, a different way. I had to learn how to, you know, land on the other shoulder when I was taking a bump. You know, there were so many things that he said he had to do differently when you get those injuries. And that's the type of stuff behind the scenes that people don't understand. And they don't get that, like, what the freaking crap a guy like The Undertaker went through his entire career. Like, everybody should listen to that podcast because you will be absolutely blown away. And he talks about how, you know, being on the going on the go for almost 300 nights a year. And he says, and when you get injured, he says, I'd go home, and he says, if a guy gets hurt and he goes home, he says, you know, you're used to living that lifestyle, going 24/7, going from here to here, you know, training and sleeping and want, you know, all this stuff. And he says, and all of a sudden you have to slow down. He's like, it'll drive a guy crazy. Hmm. It will. He says, guys literally go nuts when they get like hurt or have to go home. You know, and that made me think, like, you know, they talk about the wrestling and the things like, you know, the their death rate as young, you know, they're not very old and stuff. And a lot of that could play into that, like mental health type of stuff. You know, when they're used to living that lifestyle for all those years, and then all of a sudden, the blink of an eye, they're injured, or they get cut, or they can't go anymore, you know, and they have to go home. Can you imagine? And you can relate to that, Dave, from what you went through recently.
Yeah.
Being all of a sudden, just with the blink of an eye, being out of work. You know, and the mental toll that that's got to take on a pro wrestler, I mean, dude, I couldn't imagine what that's got to do to a guy's brain.
Well, you know, your ego takes a hit. And don't let anybody tell you that they don't have an ego that's a performer in any entertainment industry. I like to think that I've kept my ego pretty much in check throughout the years, because I've worked with some people that think they're, you know, God's gift to broadcasting, and they had no talent. But me, I thought I had some talent, but I always tried to realize that I'm not the best in the world, just maybe in the top two or three. But yeah, when I lost my job, it was hard on me and hard on my ego and hard. You know, I knew in my head that I had done nothing wrong, but in my heart, I'm sitting there questioning myself, questioning my abilities, questioning my worth. My self-worth took a real hit. Not saying that I'm completely out of it, but right now I'm enjoying being retired, semi-retired, whatever you want. But boy, those first few days, that was tough. I mean, it was tough. And
you know, there's so much that goes into a professional wrestling show, you know, and we've talked about it till we're blue in the face of storylines to backstage stuff, to injuries, to talent, to, you know, who's going to carry the torch. You know, there's a lot that goes into a promotion, and that's probably why, you know, we see so many promotions come and go. And that's why a lot of people thought AEW wouldn't last more than a year. I mean, how many people were like, they won't even last. You know, it's just a billionaire playing, you know, using his daddy's money to, you know, live a childhood dream and stuff. But dude, AEW is legit.
Yeah, they're doing great. I love it. I mean, their ratings are still very strong. You know, and before we, you know, we're talking about All Elite, and then on Wednesday night, they're calling the Wednesday Night Wars, which I wish they would stop, with NXT. NXT, after their great takeover event, they had a bump of viewership, but it was still below All Elite. And I love NXT. NXT is my favorite promotion to watch on TV right now. And then you know, I just think that NXT knocks it out of the park. And I was telling you before we started recording that Corey Graves was criticizing NXT for not having personality. I still don't know what he means. You've got Io Shirai.
I don't understand that.
She's great in the women's competitor. And then you've got people like Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Cameron Grimes, to the moon, baby. And this week on NXT, he did a salute to the Million Dollar Man. That was incredible. So I don't understand where Corey Graves is saying NXT needs more personality. I'm saying they can learn something in the main roster about personality. Myself, I don't know where he was coming from on that one. And I'm sorry. He's got his opinion. I got mine, and whatever. I just think that they're better.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on. I mean, you know, he couldn't stay healthy enough to stay in the ring. So he needs to just shut his pie hole. Yeah.
And you know who his brother is, don't you?
I don't.
Sam Adonis, who is managed by.
Really?
MK Bandit. Yeah, that's their brothers. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And they're on the independent scene, by the way. So look them up.
You know, there's a lot of those guys like that. We, you know, the Usos' little brother we saw at DCW, you know, that guy's going to be, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to be looking forward to for the future. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the independent circuit who are just crisping their talent, you know, and they're being ready to be called up at any time. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, Dave, and you mark my words that we're going to see some serious stuff coming from pro wrestling in the next probably, I don't know, 18 months. You know, they announced that WrestleMania this year is going to be in Florida, and next year they're already making plans to they're going back to Dallas again. Uh-huh. And they're going to, the WWE is basically giving everybody the finger, and they're saying, watch us do it again. And they're going to sell 110,000 tickets to WrestleMania in 2022. I will guarantee that. Oh, that's the reason. Vince ain't stupid, man. He's saying, you know what? He's saying, we're going to come out of this whole pandemic crap. And he's like, and we're not going to miss a beat. And they're going to come out of this strong.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
I have a photographic memory up here.
Oh, he did.
He might be dumb, but he's also ignorant.
Hey, bud, let's party.
I think that would be that? Fun and educational.
Who's awesome? I'm awesome. Who's awesome? I'm awesome.
Want to do anything else but play video games and watch professional wrestling. Wow, what a training video that was. He said sarcastically.
Some quality wrestling.
Hey, okay, now, okay. Now, you opened up the can of worms here, dude.
Hey, that's a crock of crap.
I can't believe The Miz is WWE champion.